future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I will not be your host for the next 15 minutes because it's Thursday, which means one thing and one thing only. Passing it over to my co-host, Jess Holgrave, who will be spearheading tonight's show. She will be your host. She will be the person in charge of your magnificent journey you're going to have. And with a very special guest on the show, we have the one and the only Monica Quantas, Head of Research and Networks at Cadena. Now, prior to working at Cadena, Monica has done a few different things, including led database engineering at Rent the Runway and was a quant for the SEC, before which she worked in investment banking for Cushman and Wakefield. Cadena, for those who don't know or haven't heard of the project or the amazing team, Cadena is basically here to drive the next round of business and social transformation. Their mission is blockchain speed, scale, security, and ease of use, so you can take it to all places you can't even imagine yet. It's a pretty cool mission. They have an amazing team. They've done some amazing things. And actually, last year at Consensus in New York, myself, Shane, met with the Cadena team, went to one of their parties and attended a private event they held at Consensus where you had Will, the CEO, giving a presentation on his view for the future and what does a decentralized future look like. Now, I hope you enjoy the show as much as we did, making it and listening to it back. It's an awesome piece of content. We hope you have some value from this. I know it's there. I know that you will. So let's get down to business. Let's jump into the show. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast. Let's go.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jess Holgrave, and I'm really excited to be guest hosting on the SVK Crypto 15 Minutes of Crypto Fame podcast. I'm a co-founder of Shios, an EOS block producer with a mission to bring more women and diversity into blockchain. And so on Thursdays, for the next few weeks, I'm bringing you stories from interesting women working in the blockchain space to tell you a bit about their background and to draw some attention to the great work that they are doing. You can follow me on Twitter at JessieBlock and send me suggestions, please, of women that you would like to hear from. This week, I'm joined by Monica Quantas, who leads engineering and adoption strategy at Cadena. I spent some time in Utah with Monica earlier this year, and so I'm so excited to have her on the show. Monica, thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Jess. I'm really excited to be here.
So let's kick off with like a bit about your background. I know you studied economics and statistics at Columbia and then ended up in banking. How has that journey brought you here?
So I actually started as a vocal performance major. And goes to show you that, like, if you want to be in crypto, like, pretty, you can just do it. Just go for it. Because if I can end up here as a former defunct opera singer, then really anybody can. So, I was in a vocal performance program. And then I decided that I didn't actually want to work that hard as a singer because, it's a real long shot there. So I switched to the statistics and economics program, and which was ended up being great for me. I loved the statistics program, although sometimes I get people that are like, oh, that was my worst class, not stats. And but when I came out of school, I had no idea what I was going to do. So I, like all most young people in New York who come out of a math program and don't know what they're doing, you get recruited to finance.
Right.
So, right. I worked as an investment banker for 3 years, focused on real estate, like large real estate portfolios, like tomato processing plants in Mexico and oil rigs off the coast of Brazil.
Wow.
And it was really boring. Actually, it was really cool.
It sounded really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to go to any of these places and see any of this stuff. I just got to read a lot of legal documents.
Yeah
so it makes me very qualified now to buy a piece of property because I've seen like everything. But after 3 years of that, I can't do this anymore. I really wanted to learn how to program. So I quit my job and I taught myself how to program. And I lived out of a backpack on friends' couches for a few months. And then I got a job as an analyst at a startup. And I worked for them for a while, and then they wanted me to move to California, and I didn't want to do that. So I put the word out that I was looking for a job, and my friend Will, that I knew from college, called me and said, "I'm working for the SEC. Do you want to come?" And I said, "Sure, I have no idea what you would do with the SEC, but if you think it's going to be interesting, then I'm in." And so I joined the group that makes software to try to catch high frequency trading fraud.
Wow.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. It's funny how that structure of power works, and there are people from the industry and people who've devoted their lives to trying to make sure that people really do follow the rules. But it wasn't a good fit for me, partially because Will left like 3 months after I joined. And so when he left, I left, and I went to Rent the Runway to do data and systems engineering for them, which I did for 3 years.
Rent the Runway is the app where you can like borrow designer clothes and stuff.
Right. And they actually have a very large and very sophisticated data backend on their system. I mean, they have hundreds of thousands of units of inventory, and they all have to be tracked, and then all that information has to be stored. So I was doing distributed database management, design, maintenance. And then Will called me again and said, "I've been at JP Morgan in the blockchain research group. We're going to leave and start a blockchain. Do you want to come?" I said, "Well, I've never made a blockchain before, but I do know a lot about databases. So sure, let's make a blockchain." And it's been a wild ride ever since.
Amazing. And so one of the things that I did notice about Kadena is the team. And you've talked about how you ended up joining Will. But are most of the team from JP Morgan, the caliber of the team, from what I can see, is exceptionally high.
Well, thanks. Yeah, we've Will and Stu met at JP Morgan. Stu was, he was basically, he made his mark originally by making a trading system for JP Morgan that ended up being wildly successful and profitable and et cetera. And so he retired and was bored. And so JP Morgan called him and said, "We want you to come back and run a research desk." Which basically, the research desk is JP Morgan finds really smart people and pays them ludicrous amounts of money to vet any potential vendors that come and bring them technology. And in the meantime, when they're not doing that, they get to work on whatever weird experimental stuff they want to make. And that's kind of the deal. Yeah. So Stu said, "That's fine. I'll come run your research desk as long as I can work at Haskell," which is this like very out there, designed by researchers, but surprisingly performant language, programming language, very difficult to learn. And Will really wanted to work in Haskell, which is when he left the SEC, he got an offer from JP Morgan to come work doing whatever with this guy in Haskell. And so they had, at that point in time, it was like 2016-ish, 2015, a bunch of people coming to the bank, showing them blockchain technology. And so they were researching blockchain and thought, heck, we can do better than this. Let's make our own blockchain, which is how the seed idea of Kadena was born.
Amazing. And so Kadena is, tell us a bit more about Kadena. What is it? And how is it different from other blockchains? What is it? What is that bit that they think that they can do better?
Right. So this whole idea of we want to make software of a very high quality, that originally came from Stu's making a trading system. And he made a language for traders at JP Morgan to be able to take their ideas, their thoughts about trading strategy, and turn them into something actionable. And he wanted to close that gap between idea and execution. And when it comes to blockchain, we have a language that Stu has crafted that takes the idea of what you want to do with a blockchain and makes the execution of that, it closes that gap. So our smart contract language is called PACT. And the whole idea behind PACT is that there are a very limited number of things that you should be trying to do on a blockchain. And we want to make those as easy and simple and safe for you to do as possible. So it handles, Pact handles key set design for you. You don't have to worry about who has permissions to what. All of that is built in. It handles, for example, we have a multi-party escrow contract that's native. When you reference somebody else's code, you know that you can do so in a safe manner. And originally when Pact was designed, Stu came up with all these features. And then since then, we've been proven by various EVM and Solidity and other issues that have cropped up in the real world that, in fact, we do need these features. Like, for example, safe external contract referencing was because they didn't have that in Solidity, you had the parity multisig bug. And because we don't allow recursion in Pact, this is how you could never have a DAO hack. And so we're taking this idea of super simple, very accessible smart contracts and putting them onto a full blockchain ecosystem. We have a private blockchain and a public blockchain, and you can develop an application with written in Pact that has both private and public blockchain bits built into it.
That's the other kind of really interesting thing about Kadena is that you have this single smart contract layer, but then different consensus protocols underneath. Can you talk a little bit more about why that's significant for the people who are building on Kadena?
Right. So we call ourselves a hybrid blockchain platform because the idea is that you might want to make an application that has access to the liquidity and consumer-facing access and fast settlement times of a public network, but you also want to know that your private data is safe and is not exposed to the public and that you can maintain some sort of separation between the kinds of processing that you want to do in the back of an application and the kind of access that you get from a public network. So when you think about conventional app design, there are things that happen on the consumer side and there are things that happen on the server side. We're taking this idea of this partitioned architecture and we're bringing it to blockchain where if you want to do something where you have to do recursive computations, you can do that off the public ledger and do it on your private side. And then if you want to be able to sell something that's tokenized or be able to do a public attestation of information where you like broadcast it to the world, you can have all of that in the same application without having to like figure out how to like stick different systems together. It's all can be done natively inside the smart contract layer. So let me give you some examples of projects we're working with right now. One of the coolest ones is called Remedy, which is R-Y-M-E-D-I. They have to spell it like a startup or whatever. And so Remedy is doing vaccinations and they have public attestation of vaccinations. Like we did this, here's the timestamp. We can prove it. We're vaccinating people on a public ledger. But patient data is sensitive and shouldn't be broadcast on the public ledger. So they have patient data on the private blockchain and attestations on the public blockchain, and it's all going to be designed to work inside of the same application.
Amazing. And so it seems that this might be a sensible kind of solution for a whole range of like industry applications.
Yeah, we're trying not to do all of the things all of the time right now. We're focused on fintech, healthcare, insurance, and government applications right now, mostly because that's our team background. I've got some banking stuff. I briefly worked for the government. And we're focused on these particular verticals because it's where we think we're going to get the most bang for our buck. Our insurance company client, they literally send paper. And so this is going to be a huge upgrade for them.
Yes. I think it's so interesting when you, as the consumer of many industries like insurance or various things, often the front end, it seems quite sophisticated. And so you don't necessarily realize, what's happening at the back to make it all
work.
It's
just like held together with chewing gum, I swear. Like as somebody who's worked on professional enterprise applications before, like it's shocking how, I think all of the internet is actually held together with like chewing gum and tape.
I think most engineers would agree with you. It always seems to be remarkable that it's as successful as it is. So that's kind of interesting. The other interesting thing I noticed when I've been listening to you speak about Kadena is this concept of a charter instead of a smart contract. Can you explain to people listening, you know, what that is and also why you differentiate?
Sure. So the whole idea of smart contract as words, I just think that it's such a misnomer because they're not particularly smart and they're not contracts. Legal people in particular get their, you know, get all up in a tizzy when we talk about smart contracts because they're like, well, they're not really contracts. And actually, I agree with them because a smart contract is a digital representation of an external agreement. You have some sort of business logic, or you have, you know, Monica's going to pay Jess under these following conditions. And we've agreed to the conditions, that's the contract. And then we're going to write it up in code and it's going to execute itself. So it's more like you've given it a set of instructions or governance. And that governance is going to be how, oh, my phone is ringing. Hold on. Give me a second. Shoot. Stop. Okay. Let me start over. Can you ask that question again just so that I can not do this with the phone?
Sure. So the other thing that I found very interesting when I've heard you speak about Kadena is that you talk about charters instead of smart contracts. What's the difference and why do you make that distinction?
So the reason that I don't like the term smart contract is because I don't think that they're particularly smart and they're not actually contracts. The legal community has a very particular idea about what the term contract means. And it's that you and I have agreed to a set of terms and that is our contract. But when we type it up in code and then it goes off and it runs itself, that code should reflect what the real world contract is, and it should be able to govern itself. And so it's more like the way that you've given the charter for a business or for an organization, where we took a set of rules and we've codified them and now we run according to those rules. And so I'm trying to draw a distinction between the idea of this is our agreement and this is the logic that we've written that hopefully conforms to our agreement. I don't know if that's clear. It's a little nuanced, but that's the thought.
It does make sense. And I think, I've certainly encountered a lot of lawyers who get their knickers in a twist about this idea of a contract and a smart contract. And so I think that's a useful distinction. And also I think that there's a lot of the charters or what people call smart contracts do a lot more than just like outline an agreement. And so I think it's, I kind of get what you're going with. So tell us a little bit now about Kadena right now. What's on the plate and what's lined up for the future?
Sure. It's a very exciting time for us. We have just launched our first testnet. Right now we're in private testnet and it's testnet V0. We have V1 coming end of May and V2 coming in July, and then mainnet is slated for launch in the fall. So it's a very exciting time for us. There's a lot of engineering going around the office, a lot of people running around and scribbling things on whiteboards. I've got a whole wall with sticky notes on it, and we move the sticky notes around depending on who's working on what and when we think things are going to get done. Yeah, it's very sophisticated system.
What do you, on a day-to-day basis, what do you do at Kadena? Apart from moving sticky notes.
Apart from sticky notes. Number one job, obviously, sticky notes. Other than that, it's, I spend most of my time right now working on mining, and we're about to plan another fundraise, which is interesting because I get to go out and I get to talk to a lot of people that know a lot of things about the industry, but sometimes it can feel a little bit like I'm removed from the business, which can be a little frustrating. So So that's why I like to try to work on more than one project at the same time. And I am really excited about mining because our network, our proof of work network is, we're going to need to decide on a mining algorithm and talk to miners. And so it's been a very exciting project, a huge learning curve for me. I know a whole heck of a lot more about ASIC design than I ever thought I would.
Amazing. That's super interesting. And so this is for your public kind of consensus layer, and it's going to be proof of work?
Right, Chainweb. So the whole idea behind Chainweb is that proof of work, if we could make it scalable, truly scalable, then we could then focus on making sure that the energy we use comes from hydropower and people would stop being all stressed out about using excessive power requirements for proof of work. And Chainweb works by having multiple Bitcoin-like chains, many Nakamoto consensus chains all running in parallel. They all have their own ledger, and you can move currency from chain to chain in the internal web with a simple transaction that basically gets completely obfuscated from the user. So rather than having miners all competing to make one block, you can have miners competing to make, you know, 100 blocks, say, if the network happens to be 100 chains in size, which gives you a much more efficient return on your mining power.
Hey, sorry, I was just talking on mute there. Sorry, I've lost my point. Awesome. So the other thing, hang on, let me start again. Sorry, Monica.
It's okay.
So aside from Cadena, I know that you founded an organization called Universal Consensus. Is that right?
Yes. So the idea behind Universal Consensus is essentially that we want more female speakers at conferences. So I try to work with conference organizers to go through a roster of qualified women in the space, and I send them essentially a large bundle of applications like, look at all of these women who are extremely qualified. You should put them on your panels.
Amazing. I think that's it's really interesting that you're kind of you're doing that. I think having highly qualified speakers is so important because I don't know about you, but often I either see at conferences women's panels where the topic is just the fact that you're a woman and that you work in this space, or you know, a very small group of women who appear again and again, but who end up talking about things that are completely outside their remit. I know I've been approached at times to speak about things that I'm totally unqualified to do, but the idea is just that, you know, they need, you know, a female participant to be involved. And so I think this idea of, you know, matching qualified women and also finding qualified women who might not be in a prominent position within an organization. They might not be the CEO or, you know, the headline name that you think, but who are highly, highly qualified to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, we're trying really hard at Cadena to live every day the idea that we want qualified women in the industry. We hired a woman fresh out of school, even though we probably needed more experienced developers, and we've been training her up, and she's actually speaking on her first ever panel during Consensus in May, so in a couple weeks. And it's very exciting for us to try to push that boundary. And so it's every little bit that we can do to open it up and help there be more people that look like us on the stage. I think it'll help broaden the industry in general.
Yeah. I mean, I was again talking about the team on the Cadena website. I was super impressed about the diversity and like how many women engineers you have and you know, just the whole composition of the team. I was super impressed by it, and it's really refreshing to see a team of people who are obviously like very, very capable, but who also have a lot of diversity in terms of their background and their education and how they've come to this. So I really enjoyed reading through. I spent far too long reading everyone's biographies this afternoon.
Oh, good. Well, everybody on our team is totally amazing. We really got lucky.
So one of the reasons, again, that I really love doing this podcast is to highlight women as a way to provide kind of positive role models. And obviously you do that too at Universal Consensus. Aside from that, how should we be thinking about this gender gap? How can we start to address it?
So personally, I like to approach the whole issue by thinking that what's most important is a diversity of perspective. And that, for example, I'm just going to spout some truisms and not give sources, but hopefully people can look them up later, that women are tend to be less risk averse and better at judging multiple possibilities all at the same time and juggling connections with more people. And that I think that if we have more gender balance, then we're going to be less likely to end up with some of these like huge risk-taking Enron-like huge problems that manifest in industries that are primarily dominated only by dudes. And so when we think about it as we want to do this for the health of our industry in general, it stops becoming some sort of like altruism missive and starts becoming like, this is going to help us perform.
Yes.
And with that as our mindset, I think it becomes a whole heck of a lot easier to say, you know what, I want to make sure that in candidates, when we're hiring for this role, like at least half of them are women. And if that means that you have to go out and look a little harder, great, go do it.
I think that's really interesting. I think there's also, there was a great VC report here in the UK released about a month or so ago now. And it talked about the returns generated by startups where there is at least one female on the management team. And these teams with diverse management teams way outperformed from a financial perspective teams that were all male. It's this kind of idea of like risk and diversity of perspective isn't just a sort of nice to have, but it's actually like if you're not doing it, then you're missing out.
Agreed.
So I'm going to begin to wrap up. One thing that I always love to ask guests is whether they have any advice for women or for people in general who are maybe on the periphery of blockchain and who are wanting to make a career jump into it. As someone who's been now working in it for a while, but who again has come from a different background, what advice would you have for people?
You know, I think that of all the industries that I've worked in, ours is the one that is the most welcoming. And I think you can just take the chance, just go for it, because right now we're in this place where the industry is so nascent that people willing to bring their expertise from pretty much anywhere is really necessary right now. Like if you are somebody who knows something about healthcare or you're somebody who really is passionate about real estate or whatever it is, there's a niche in crypto for you. Just put yourself out there. I think that there are real opportunities here and people are willing to listen.
Yeah, I certainly have found that too. Finally, I always finish with a quick fire question so that we can get to know Monica a little better. Are you a late night person or an early morning person?
Neither. I really like to sleep. I'm really an afternoon person.
That's pretty challenging if you're fundraising right now.
Yeah, I guess if I had to pick, I would say an early person. I like to get up early and get things done.
Nice. If you're an animal, what would you be?
Oh, an animal. I really like to be a dragon. Does it have to be a real animal?
Have you been watching the new Game of Thrones?
Oh, I have been. I have been, yes.
Do you have a favorite kind of historical, inspirational figure?
I'm a Marie Curie fan, although in the end she did succumb to radiation poisoning. So I think I'd like all of her innovative discoveries without having to succumb to radiation poisoning.
That's a very good answer. If you weren't doing your current job, what would you be doing right now?
What would I be doing right now? That's a tough question. It's hard for me to, well, I mean, in fantasy land, I'd be like kiteboarding somewhere, but I'd probably be writing software. I miss writing code a lot. I don't write a lot of code in my role, and I really like systems engineering, and I would probably be doing that.
Excellent. And who is your favorite person to follow on crypto Twitter or writing about crypto?
Oh man, crypto Twitter. I love following Zaki Mannion from Cosmos. He's great. He's a great champion of everybody else's projects, not only his own. And so he'll very often be banging the drum for other people. And he also promotes a lot of women in crypto, which makes me really happy.
Fabulous. Finally, how can people find you or connect with you if they want to?
Probably Twitter. I'll tweet, and also Instagram. I post a lot of costuming stuff on Instagram because that's what I do in order to decompress. So you can see some of my weird costume stuff on Instagram.
And what's your Twitter handle?
It's QuaintM, QUAINTM.
Amazing. Monica, thank you so much today. It's been really great speaking with you, and good luck with everything coming up at Kadena. I look forward to following it.
Thanks, Jess.
I want to say a big thank you once again to Jess and Monica for making the show what it was, a special episode, a masterpiece, if I may say so myself. So listen, with that in mind, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. If you haven't already, hit us up on Telegram. If you type in SVK crowd, you will find myself and the rest of the team there. Hit us up on Twitter at SVK_crypto, and feel free to email myself if you have any questions, queries, or interesting projects you want to bring to our attention. The best email to reach me on is cstory, cstory@svkcrypto.com. That's a wrap, and I've got to bounce.